You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Act Bossoff. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Come on, we can give the Lord a great, great hand clap for His people. Come on, making this possible. Hallelujah. Come on, that's amazing. This has been one of the most amazing weeks of my life. Take your seat. Thank you very much. And I want to stand and applaud you now. Over 2,500 volunteers that came together in the last week. You know, I called for our church to arise and make a difference. We had over 2,500 people across South Africa that gathered together in the churches, for all the way from Cape Town to Katu, Kimberley, all over. And I mean, in a record time of 3 days, we gathered food, non-perishables, baby supplies, and with 10 Interlink trucks, sponsored by this amazing man, Anthony. Why do I give you a lady name? That, I apologize, I repent, my friend. Anthony, and I just want to honor all my staff members, all the pastors, all the CRC churches that in a moment were mobilized, the community that realizes we are not just called to pray, we are called to put feet to our prayers. And in this darkest hour, we have to become the shining light of Jesus Christ. That is why we need our churches open, so that we can heal the hurts and address the suffering and the plight of our people in South Africa. So I want to thank the CRC staff members, Sumara, that was the operation coordinator, she's a machine, Nikita, CRC Cares, that runs the whole CRC Cares. I mean, you know, this is run like a military operation. It's amazing. If you actually saw the volunteers and the excitement, and everybody that I thank just said, Pastor, thank you for the privilege to serve. I honor you and I applaud you. Amen. With the angels and the saints of heaven, I applaud each and every one of you for your sacrifice. Some of you took off from your work, from your jobs. You came and you gave your time and you made this possible. Today, there are people that are being fed. There are people that have hope in Jesus' name. All our CRC churches, I honor and thank the pastors, your leadership, all the volunteers, all the givers, all the tithers. All those of you that have been faithful in these 18 months during the lockdown to support this vision. I mean, people say we open churches because we need money. Hey, I think we have shown that we do pretty good. We've given over 60,000 food parcels last year alone, and we continue to help the orphans and the widows, and we have never stopped our local projects under CRC Cares. So please, if you ever say again, we want our churches open for money, we did this while our church is closed. Thank you very much. So we thank every contributor, every volunteer, especially TH Transport, who provided the drivers and 10 Interlink trucks, and also sponsored 1,000 food parcels. A big shout out to you. Thank you for making a difference in God's kingdom. Also, Arrow Logistics, Brian Kelly from Bloemfontein, that brought all the food from Bloemfontein and Cape Town and Kimberley to Johannesburg to be distributed. Thank you to Val Bartman, Fidelity Security, that provided security. Thank you for the South African Police Services, who provided safety and support all the way and protected our people. And then we also thank ER24. In Jesus' name. Come on, these are the true heroes. Let's give them all a big hand clap, because without you, this is not possible. It's time for the church in South Africa to arise like never. Say amen in Jesus' name, okay? Now, phase two has begun. That was phase one. And phase two will be bigger and better. So this week, we are going to raise and distribute 10,000 more food parcels down to KwaZulu-Natal. We will have our second mobilization this week, and also Mamelodi, where we will work with local credible pastors who will not sell the food but actually distribute it to the people in Mamelodi, and then also Diepsloot, Alexandra, and Soweto. So this is where our focus will be this week. So come on, do what you can. Our CRC members, you are very generous. Those of you that can give finances as a church, obviously we will give millions into this project, because it's going to cost millions and millions and millions and millions. We're not talking here about 2 rand, but every can helps. Everything you can do matters. Next week we'll get back to encouraging the saints, etc., but we have to address the need. The hour is urgent. Our country is suffering. People are without hope, and the church has to arise in South Africa and do what only the church can do. We are the agents of hope. We are the only ones who can change human hearts and change the moral behavior of society. This crime that we witnessed, I said to the Minister of Justice once, legislation cannot change a human heart. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. That is why we need to preach the gospel of Jesus like never before. So, Nikita, a lot of work to be done, a lot of purchasing to be done. But, you know, we bought all Macro's food here and in Centurion. Now we will have to buy Macro's food wherever there is a Macro with food left. That's fine. We're going to buy the food and we are going to distribute. So, a lot of the students outside of Pretoria, this will be the base of operation, and Johannesburg, you haven't been in town forever. You come back, you help us pack, and you serve your community. You learn to serve your community. Okay, let's mobilize our young people to get this done. In 2 days, we have to pack. I mean, it's like a production line. We need to pack this food by Thursday. So that means Tuesday and Wednesday, we have to have these production lines go again and package the food and get it out to the people. You say, Pastor, I came for a message. Well, that is the message. Francis of Assisi said, we should all preach the gospel and if necessary, add some words. So you want a message? I'm going to give it to you. Here it goes. Short and sweet. Right to the point. The need is the call. Cannot play church politics. Cannot fight and divide. Cannot slander one another on social media. Only people who do that are Christians. Time for the church in South Africa to unite, to put our differences aside, our egos, and to see that our country is in a desperate state in many ways, spiritually. And let me just say this. I've said this to our president every single time. I've said that we are your most valuable asset that you are not using. Every crisis in this nation was addressed by the church. Apartheid was dismantled by the church. Politicians were the face, but they never dismantled the evil of apartheid. The AIDS pandemic was fought through the church. And this COVID virus that have taken so many lives, we understand. We understand and we work with science and we have proven that we can open our churches safely and responsibly without any putting any person's life at risk. What is happening in our country is a travesty. Spiritually, morally, our children, education system failing. And let me say and make this very clear, we are not against our government. We are not against our police. We are not against our military. We are for our government. We are for our doctors. All we are asking is allow the church to do what only the church can do. Because while people are spiritually lost, as I was before I was saved, you will never change their criminal behavior. You will never change their rioting. You will never change their looting. You have to change a human heart before you can change human behavior. And only the church of Jesus Christ has the power to change a human heart. I mean, if I think of my own life, I spoke to Pastor Chris Matibula, that grew up on the streets, and I said, if you were a teenager, where would you be? He said, Pastor, I'd be looting right with those looters. Because I never knew Jesus. And it seems that this is what people are missing, the impact and the power of the church. It seems that the perception people have of the church is a little building where people can sing a few songs. No. The church is about serving the purpose of Jesus Christ. I mean, what I hear, the hurts in our community more than ever. Little girls that are being molested. The other Sunday we had a little girl, when churches were allowed to have 250 people, we had a little girl come and she was bleeding, sitting there. And with dignity, the teachers went to help her. She was obviously molested the night before, and she made her way to church just to find hope. How many young girls, now that schools are locked down, do we even think beyond ourselves? And that we always talk about people can watch online, and there's 91% of people in South Africa that have no access to online, that have no access to data, that are disconnected from God and spiritually, and this results in a moral decay. That is why we shout it loud. We need our churches open so that we can address this and so that we can stop this moral decay in South Africa. We want to be part of the solution. As a matter of fact, one of my pastors, an ex-military recce, sat with the commissioner of police in Bloemfontein and was part of orchestrating the plan to stop criminal activity in the whole of Free State. Because we understand how these criminals operate. And we understand it's only the gospel of Jesus that will arrest a heart and change a heart. That's why we need to preach the gospel louder than ever. Can I have an amen? Every pastor on television, say amen where you are. We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It seems we forget that we were sinners ourselves. That if we were not saved, we would be part of the looting problem. Before I got saved, if I have to think back, the racist I was a thief. We broke bottle stores to steal alcohol. Me, in the old South Africa, imagine, your sanctified pastor. I was smoking marijuana. I was a hater. I was taught to hate. Our young people are suffering. 70% of them are unemployed. 40% of our country is unemployed. And it's only the Church of Jesus Christ that can give those people hope. I said it's only the Church of Jesus Christ that can give those people hope, because the hope that comes from Jesus is not a false hope. It is a hope that is certain and a hope that is sure. People look at these people, and people fight me on social media and say, how can you go feed the looters? Well, we will feed them, because it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. We will feed them. We will love on them. And those that never looted, we will feed them and we will love on them. And we will bring the goodness of God to our country in Jesus' name. I mean, I was a thief. I stole a bicycle. My friend got cuts. I can tell you a lot of things before I got saved. Went into the military. What changed me? Wasn't the ANC. It wasn't legislation. It was a new heart. It was accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And we've stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We no longer are preaching the gospel of Jesus in downchurch. As a matter of fact, one of my pastors, one of my great, great, great pastors, you have to hear this, Gabriel, whose work has been one of my pastors almost for 25 years in Bloemfontein. I was preaching a crusade, one crusade in Lady Brand. You know, Lady Brand's not the biggest place in the world. And I bought this massive sound system. Amen, Pastor Selo. And I thought, okay, before I leave, I'm going to preach the gospel all over Lady Brand. And I bought these long throw horns, and I preached. And everybody heard the gospel that night, because it echoed from the mountains into the township. And there were two young men that just came back from boxing training. Both of them, their parents were abused. The one of them were abused himself as a boy. And he said, one day, I want to become a police officer for one reason. To get a gun so that I could go kill those people who did what they did to my family. And that night, they were running past the crusade and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ just as I made the altar call, and they both gave their lives to Jesus Christ, and today they are pastors in the ministry. Hallelujah. That sounds to me like the Apostle Paul, a murderer meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, changed by the power of God. How can we fight to silence the voice of the church if it is the church that should be the loudest right now in our nation to bring hope and healing? Oh, come on. Somebody that ever got saved, you know what I'm talking about. Give Jesus Christ praise, because without the gospel, there is no hope. There is no future. It all starts with the gospel. Not just preaching the gospel, but demonstrating the gospel. The goodness of Jesus Christ. Let me give you your scriptures, because people always say I don't read many scriptures, but if you knew the Bible, you'd know I'm quoting scripture all the time without making reverence. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Compassion is God's love in action. Stop criticizing your brother and get your hands dirty. Stop fighting for your doctrine and have some compassion on the people in your community that are suffering. Stop trying to defend what you have and begin to see the needs of people in South Africa all around you. Become part of the solution. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. I watched on television this week as a psychologist spoke after a study that revealed that the lifespan of the average South African male and female have been shortened by 4 years as a result of the pandemic. Not the disease, not the virus, but the anxiety and the fear and the loneliness and the despair and the depression that is adding to the stress of people, which is one of the main factors that will shorten your lifespan. For many people, the church has been the only place of safety. A young girl would go there and she would just feel loved, the rest of the week abused. Something is happening in our communities now, and I was shocked when I heard this. Because of social grants that have been stopped, how many of our young girls are now being given away by their mothers and by their aunts and grandmothers just for 50 rand a night, for 100 rand a night, and we just sit on the sideline and we don't want to get off our high horse and open our eyes to the needs and become the church of Jesus Christ. And people say, well, you can sit at home and you can serve God while sitting at home. He's not helping that little girl that was molested last night. We need churches open so we can mobilize our people to go and address these needs in our society. I mean, if anybody could have services online, it's me. I don't say it arrogantly. We have the biggest platform in South Africa by far. I'm the last one who should be fighting for churches to be opened. I'm on 4 different television stations live. Our influence has increased and it's made many jealous. I understand that. No, I don't. How you can be jealous and you're a pastor? I don't even understand how you as a Christian can attack another Christian. Just doesn't even make sense in my head. Our needs are met. I'm the last one that should be fighting for this. Yet for the last 18 months we have fought because we realize, because we don't think about now, we think about the future. And what I warned against last year has begun to happen. You take light out of a community, darkness will be the result. Hopelessness and despair will be the result. We're not talking about preachers like me with large platforms. We're talking about pastors in the rural communities, pastors in the outlying areas who no longer has a voice. We now have to feed hundreds of pastors. Thousands of churches have closed. People say, Pastor, business is closed. I'm not a businessman, I'm a pastor, and I weep with our business people, and we give hope to our business people, but nobody's speaking up for the religious community. Nobody is fighting for those who have no voice. Everybody is just fighting for themselves. It's time that we stop that religious rhetoric and we become the church of Jesus Christ, where we can arise and shine as one and bring hope to South Africa. Without compromising the health of people. Never risk. Nobody here today is at risk. We go beyond safety protocols that are applied in every other industry. Said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are lazy. The laborers are sleepy. The laborers are backslidden. The laborers have become lukewarm. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Matthew 10 verse 1, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. Verse 7, said, as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, Jesus never ever gave us a command to go sit. He commanded us to go. He commanded us to preach. Not to play it safe. Matthew 9 verse 36. When he saw the crowds of people, Jesus' heart was deeply moved with compassion. Do we even see what is happening? 46,000 businesses closed down in KwaZulu-Natal because of a week of violence. Hundreds of thousands have lost their jobs. On a scale like we've never seen. And churches are fighting one another. I challenge every denomination, go mobilize yourself. Stop fighting other denominations. And go be something, be the light. Go help people out there in the community. Get your own trucks mobilized and go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go heal the hurts. Preach the gospel. They seemed weary and helpless. You get among those people, they're helpless. They lost, wandering sheep without a shepherd. How many of those young people used to be in a church 2 years ago? How many of them even came to our Dream Week conferences? I'm wondering, how many that were looting in Mamelodi that used to be faithful church members on fire for God? Now, they've lost the plot. Why? Because they no longer have a house. They no longer have a place of safety. Don't we get it? The decay and rot starts spiritually. You remove spirituality from a society, decay is the result. You see what will happen the day the rapture takes place and the church is out of here. Society will collapse in a month. People will loot and riot and kill and burn on a scale like you've never seen, because it's the church and the church alone that is stopping evil from taking over in this world. We are the light of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. We are the ones that should arise and shine, not against our government, but as the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, serving our nation as only we can serve our nation. Why is our plea not heard? To allow us to be the church of Jesus Christ. Why is our plea not heard? To allow us to do what only we can do. When KwaZulu-Natal was burning, I always put up my hand first in these meetings with the president. He knows me already. He says, you'd be the one in class that always had your hand up first. And I was. And I said to him so respectfully, the scientists will not be able to stop the spate of violence. And the police alone will not, and the army alone will not. Because violence cannot stop violence. It can stop it momentarily. Are you listening? It was the church who got back in the community. And I understand that the world will never recognize the church. But it was pastors everywhere, religious leaders, Roman Catholic priests, bishops, Anglican, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. The name tag does not matter, who got into the communities and called for a calm and called for a peace, and that violence subsided, and that violence that wanted to spread to other provinces was stopped, yes, by our police, but not only by our police, but by religious little leaders who led the struggle, fight against apartheid. I think we need to give God a praise offering for every bishop and every pastor, for every reverend, whether they pass through a church of 100 or 100,000, it matters not. They are the present-day Levites that God has raised up to be the salt of the earth and to be a beacon of light and hope in our communities. Like people that say, sit in your home and be silent, have no clue what Christianity is about, I suggest that you go read the book of Acts. It's called the book of Acts because it's the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Believers. It's not called the Acts of Silence and the Acts of Compliance. It's called the Acts of the early church empowered by the Holy Ghost. When the church is muzzled, society will decay. When the church is taken out of the school systems, morality will rise. Doesn't help you go and you say to children, use condoms. You need to change the heart of that child, and only the gospel of Jesus can do that. I said only the gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. Some of you were criminals, you are now saved. Some of you were prostitutes, you are now saved. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, but Jesus saved her and she became a great follower of Jesus Christ. Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus looked over the crowd, Matthew 9, his heart broke. We fight one another, Jesus' heart broke. We fight for the right to be right. And the heart of Jesus weeps. Do we even hear the heart of God and still see the need? The need is the call. CRC, we will not sit in our corners. We will not sit in our homes. We will mobilize ourselves again this week on a scale like we have never mobilized ourselves. And we will be more generous than we have ever been in this pandemic. And we will give more because the need is greater. Come on, say amen in the name of Jesus on television. Seems many have forgotten that the church is the hope of the world because the church supposedly carries the light of the world, who is the person of Jesus Christ. People are afraid to say the name Jesus on television. People are apologetic when they talk about Jesus Christ. Why? Do we still believe he's the only way, the truth, and the life? We're going to be politically correct. I'm going to be gospelly correct, if there's a word like that. Amen. It's time for the church to arise, to do what Jesus called us to do in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me, not to sit, to preach the gospel to the poor, to help the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, let little girl, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the drug addicts, those bound, those angry. I was bound, I know what it is. I think the problem is some of you were born saved. That means you're not saved because you've never been born again. I know what God saved me from. So when I see the symptoms, I can identify with them and I know what the solution is. It's like a doctor when you walk into his room and he looks at something and he says, we've got a challenge here. But then he comes with a solution, right? We have the solution. His name is Jesus Christ. I said, we have the solution. His name is Jesus Christ. through the church that will stop their polarization, their slander, and their attacks against one another. Become the light of Jesus to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So preaching the gospel, not politics, and people getting saved is our primary purpose. Luke 19 verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. How many of you remember the day Jesus saved you? Lift your hand and say amen, glory, hallelujah. And what kind of person were you before then? A drunkard, drunklop. Ah. Problem is you become too Christianized, churchified, that you no longer see the symptoms. You have your little religious recipe that helps nobody. Ever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. You want peace in South Africa? You need the gospel to be preached to the people of South Africa. There will be no peace without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are there to heal hurts and remove burdens. I have to close, and I want to say this that I wrote down. Revival, as we believe it's going to come, must lead to reformation and full restoration of all the ills in our society and community. All we can do now is address the symptoms of poverty, but the greatest ill, the greatest virus in our world in South Africa is the virus of poverty. We have to attack poverty with everything that is in us. Every South Africa has to be committed to eradicate poverty in the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen? We have to address and influence the ills of our communities. Racism, poverty, social injustice, gender-based violence, corruption, the abuse of children, which is on the increase, alcohol, drug abuse, the scourge of crime. Lives don't matter today. One taxi driver owner shoots another one in public daylight with an unregistered AK-47 posted on social media. Inequality, sexism, etc., etc., etc. How can the Church of Jesus Christ be closed when the Church of Jesus is needed the most at this time? We understand the pandemic. We have in our church, between Bloemfontein and Johannesburg, 314 doctors. Most of them are specialists. We understand this pandemic. We will put no lives at risk. But we plead to our government, as he made a plea to us, to help allow churches to reopen, and let the Department of Health come and certify every building, certify every church, and give a register that you are compliant to safety regulations so that we can help people and heal South Africa. Allow us to do what only the church can do. We have what the scientists don't have. They have what we don't have. We need to work together. If you watch me on television today, I'm passionate because I was lost, like some of you sitting and watching today. I was lost. I was lonely. I was on my way to hell without Jesus Christ. Maybe this pandemic has overwhelmed you. You've grown cold. You've wandered away from Jesus. Why don't you come back to Jesus today? I understand some of you are hopeless, and I pray hope is on the way. We're going to send more food. We'll do whatever we can. This is not God who caused this. Turn back to God this morning. Say this. Say, Jesus, give my life to you. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. God is good. Amen.
for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.